Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I once again digging into part six of the Building Phases for Women series. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about something a little bit different than we have so far in this series, really digging into the mindset you need to adopt for building phase success. I think this is really one of the most underrated parts, but really probably one of the most important parts of a successful building phase. I think that like the macros, the training, like all that, very objective and can really, that's an easier part once you understand how to go about it. It's really the mental side of things that it's oftentimes the most challenging, especially if you're not someone who's gone through a building phase before, or maybe you've gone through a building phase and feel like you just gained a lot of body fat. So this is oftentimes like one of the biggest hurdles because like we've talked about, one of the most important aspects of a successful building phase is adequate time. And again, like the mindset you approach it with as a whole. And again, I think this is one of the most common things that people miss on. So I'm excited to get into this. Before we dig into it, Andrea, anything else you want to add there?
No, you said exactly what I was going to say. What I was thinking about was this is probably the most important one that we'll talk through because this is what gets in people's way more than anything else, I think.
Absolutely. So when it comes to the most common mental obstacles clients encounter and kind of how we address them, is there anything that stands out to you as like, hey, this is probably the number one most common thing that I see?
Yeah. So I think that the thing that keeps people from having the most success in a building phase is wrapping it up too quickly. And that can be a couple different things. One is immediately as soon as we get into it saying, how long do I have to do this?
Yeah.
And the other is getting a couple months into it, a few months into it and saying, I'm pretty uncomfortable. Let's diet. And a coach can really help with that. But there's even been times where like we can guide, but we're just here to guide. We can't force anybody into anything. Right. And so there's definitely been times where I'm like, this is a mistake to reverse course right now. But if this is something that someone's dead set on, like it's just kind of how it goes. And so if you don't spend enough time there, it ends up being sort of a waste of some months because you do spend time, seeing some gain. And if you don't stay there for long enough, then after you diet, it's like, there's not really anything that's changed here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the most common mistakes is approaching a building phase with the diet or approaching a building phase with the mindset of how quickly can we get this done? Or what's the minimum amount of time I need to do this? Like what's the shortest amount of time we can do this before we get back to fat loss? Right. And that's again, it's okay. Right. If you struggle with this, that's completely okay. It's normal. Right. Because so many people, it's just been like, so deeply ingrained. Like, hey, we're always chasing getting leaner. And this is kind of the opposite of that. So it's so important to remember here that adding muscle, again, there's two primary levers for body composition change. We have losing body fat and we have adding muscle. Adding muscle is just as valuable, can create just as much change in your physique as losing body fat, right? So again, it depends on what type of building phase we're doing, like less so in that more advanced building phase where we're truly in a surplus, but building at maintenance, we can see some very impressive physique improvements actually, right? So considering that first and foremost, but also again, if we're going into it with the mindset of, I want to get this done with as quickly as possible, that is very rarely conducive to someone truly executing the building phase well, right? And like we talked about, there are a lot more components that we really need to be dialed in with, like, hey, we're nailing our nutrient timing, our training quality, and our intention and our sleep, and all these things are truly like managed very well. It's so much easier to let those things go if it's just like, I just want to get this done as quickly as possible. Like it's not like a test that we can just cram for, right? And just like, hey, in like a month or 3 months, we can get it done. Where one of the things about fat loss is, and this is never something that we encourage, but oftentimes it can be like, man, I didn't do my best. Like this day I went over my food goals. So I'm just going to pull back the next couple of days. Now, like that can oftentimes lead to like an unhealthy pattern of eating. We of course don't encourage that, but you can kind of like make up for it later and like almost like cram in a couple of days and like to an extent make up for days where we're off. Whereas building phase isn't like that, right? Where what we do in the micro is much more important. So embracing it with the mindset of, rather, I am going to fully embrace the phase that I'm in. I'm going to make the absolute best out of it that I can. I think it's so important. I'm going to look at the positives and really truly learn, like do my absolute best to enjoy those things. I think that's just so important. Do you have anything else to add on that point?
Yeah, there's only so quickly your body can add muscle tissue. And so if we're looking at this from the perspective of what's the minimum amount of time or how quickly can I get this done? When can we go back to fat loss? Then a lot of times that also sets up the mentality of I'm going to go hard in both directions. Like I'm going to diet super hard and then I'm going to rebound and gain way too quickly whenever we're in this shorter building phase. So if you just do it the right way and embrace that it's going to be a long-term process, then you can stay a lot leaner through that whole process and enjoy it so much more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's so important as well. And I know we'll talk about like our challenges, our own challenges we've struggled with, but I know that's one that I like a mistake that I've made in the past, like dieting super aggressively and then just going super hard in the other direction. And I basically spent like years yo-yo dieting because of that. But I mean, I think it's so important here in this phase to focus on, again, like looking at, hey, there are other forms of progress outside of just losing body fat, right? Building muscle, like from a physical perspective, building muscle. It's just as important of an aspect of progress as losing body fat, but also the things like, again, I like to really focus on, encourage clients to focus on the like quote unquote lifestyle gains you can make in this phase. Like, hey, you do have more food flexibility. Maybe we're working in free meals. Maybe again, like, and I would of course encourage like moderation with this, but maybe we do have like more flexibility with like you have a drink or two more or other things. Like you're probably gonna have better mood and libido. You're gonna have better sleep. You're going to have more energy focusing on your progress in the gym, because that should be so much quicker, right? You're getting stronger so much quicker. You're going to be getting better plumps. Your training is just going to be so much more fun. You're going to have so much more energy. Like there are so many other aspects where I really think that, honestly, I think almost every other aspect of your life is better when you're eating more food, aside from you're not seeing yourself get more shredded, but like how you feel, your headspace, your mental clarity, almost all those things are typically better. It's funny to think about that actually, like literally I would say every other aspect of your life, like your relationships are typically like you have more flexibility to, not that you can't do these things in a fat loss phase, but again, it's so much easier. It's not like a stressor at all to like work those things in, where sometimes it can be in a fat loss phase, but it's funny how it's still like, you can look at that and like, hey, objectively, it seems like this would make every other area of our life better, but it can still be such a stressful thing. Anything else to add there?
I would even add all those things to like another category of most common obstacles clients encounter is just focusing on the one negative thing where there's so many other positives whenever we chart them all out. But it's like just that one aspect of not feeling your leanest can kind of ruin a whole period of time that could be great.
Absolutely. That's again, like the way we coach is not just fat loss coaching. It's like lifestyle coaching, it's physique coaching and physique development. And those other phases are so important. And again, just like living, if you are someone who's like lived the last couple of years, focusing constantly on getting leaner, just ask yourself, like, how much longer do I want to live like this? Do I want the rest of my life always to be focused on just the pursuit of getting leaner? Like there will come a time where we have to kind of be okay with leaning into the discomfort temporarily of, I'm not chasing that anymore. But oftentimes, again, you'll be shocked at the way your physique is able to improve. So I would really kind of sum that up as wanting to rush it being one of the biggest obstacles. Anything else that stands out to you as far as common client obstacles?
So we kind of touched on the fear of weight gain and letting go of that. But I think that's another big one that is separate, intertwined, but separate from wanting to rush through it. That would be the biggest reason why people do want to rush through it. And so with talking about letting go of being your absolute leanest all the time, one thing to focus on here is your clothing. I really think that that's like, most of us are fully clothed most of the time. And so that's something that can add to the discomfort, or you can just lean into that and wear clothes that are more comfortable, wear clothes that aren't super tight around your midsection or your glutes, and wear either like your a little bit looser things, or even just things that fit your body, your building phase body in a different way, versus trying to wear the exact same things, like denim that's not stretchy. And you know, like your tightest clothes, whenever you're even in a fat loss phase, you put those on, you're just asking to be upset whenever you do that. So leaning into either wearing things that fit your body in this time period, or even getting some new clothes if you need to. Styles change pretty consistently anyway. And so, you know, trying to wear the same things for years when your body is changing is just going to set you up for frustration.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never wear my crop tops in a building phase. But really, and even again, with just adding muscle, like the way your clothes fit you will change, right? Yeah. And that's important to consider as well. If you're building your glutes, like your pants are going to feel tighter. If you're building like as your upper back,
even
that's
at your leanest.
Oh yeah. Even at your leanest, right? The scale will be heavier even at your leanest if we're adding muscle. There are things like even like building like your upper back, your delts, like oftentimes shirts fit tighter and you'll notice like a difference there.
And women's shirts are not made for having shoulders or a back, even without having a lot of muscle. I just am broad shouldered and it just, they're uncomfortable and tight. And so then when you start building muscle, it's not made for you at all. So you just have to find the styles that work.
Yeah. But I think too, like a good, almost shifting your focus from, I think everyone again is so programmed to basically just look at your abs all the time. Right. And it's like, do I have more abs or do I have less abs than I had last week? And again, like letting go of that is the only area of progress as far as like, are they more visible or are they less visible? Looking at things like, are my glutes growing? Am I like achieving new curves there that I've never seen before? Again, like even like physically, like looking at it as a bigger picture than just, I don't know. Do you feel like that's true? I feel like I see that in clients all the time where it's again, like just the only like metric of progress and something we consistently have to talk to, like the only metric of leanness or fat gain is like, are my abs more visible or less visible? Yeah. And it's like so easy to, or even like someone like, hey, you've lost 20 pounds, but we lose body fat from different areas, right? Not just your core. And like, hey, maybe your midsection doesn't look that different yet, but like, look at these changes in your legs and your arms. And it's so like, oftentimes it takes some education to really be intentional about looking at those other areas. Anything else to add to that one?
Yeah, I would say what you're focusing on is going to change how you're feeling. So if you're only focusing on, this is the area where I tend to gain fat, or this is the area that is like my trouble spot or whatever, only focusing on that all the time is only going to accentuate that and stress you out. So it's again, very similar to focusing on the lifestyle gains that you're going to make versus wanting to brush through. Your energy goes where your focus goes, or whatever that saying is. Like, you need
energy flows where focus goes, or something like that. Yeah, so flows and goes in there.
Right. So just focus on the positive, focus on things that are going to put you into a better headspace versus whatever that perceived negative is at the time.
Yeah. Natalie and I were talking about this on a podcast a while back, but I know like for me, my natural set point seems to be like having a very negative perspective on everything. And that's something I have to be so intentional about, like every situation that I'm in, regardless, like this is where we're at. So I have two options here. I can either be a bitch about it, which I'm not saying that to clients, but that's like my, it's my own self-talk rather. Or that just reminds me of a client I had way back in the day at the gym, Jen. She was such an awesome client, but she was like asking me, like, you're always like telling me this like positive self-talk and stuff like during my sets, but like, what are you like telling yourself in your head? And I was like, honestly, I'm just like, don't be a bitch. You got this. She's like, that's so funny. That's exactly what I tell myself too. But anyways, not condoning that. But anyways, again, you can either make it suck. It can be terrible. This phase can be awful. Or again, we can, hey, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. here's why I'm doing it. I'm just going to make the absolute best out of it I can. I am going to approach it. I'm going to be intentional about approaching it with as much positivity as I can, because that's so much of that really is a decision. I would say the final thing that really sticks out to me in this phase is struggling to train to failure. Would you say that's a pretty common challenge you see as well?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Across all phases of nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. Really not just specific to this phase, but again, it's so important. And it's not like we're necessarily training to failure all the time, but to failure or very close to it. Like we talked about, those last few reps before failure are by far the most stimulated for muscle growth. So if we're leaving like 4 or 5 reps in the tank on most of our sets, it's a good way to go to the gym consistently, feel like you're doing all the work, still putting in like the same amount of time, but we're not going to see the results from it. We're not going to get that muscle growth signal. And without that, we're not going to build muscle tissue, right? So that's, again, especially like, I know we talked about this a lot in like one of the prior episodes, but one of the most common reasons so many people have gone through a building phase and it's like, hey, just gain body fat and not muscle. Exercise selection is an important part of that. Again, making sure the specific tissue you are trying to grow is the limiting factor, but also, are we truly pushing hard enough to really achieve the magnitude of stimulus we want, which again is going to require us pushing pretty damn close to failure. How do you typically address this with clients?
Sometimes it's a longer process than others, but we always will ask for 3 to 4 training videos per week. And we'll start out by asking for movements that are pretty specific to the person's goals, but also bigger compound movements, because those are going to be harder to push to failure, especially in the lower body. And so I just start by assessing how, like, if I'm saying, let's get to failure or let's take it to 1 rep in reserve, something like that, then I'm going to first just assign that and see how well they push. And then from there, we're assessing with those videos, did you nail it? Which most times is not going to be the case right off the bat. It looks like you have X number of reps left in the tank here. Sometimes there are enough reps left in the tank that I can't even assess what that number is going to be. But I'll usually start out by pushing them and just saying, it looks like you have this many reps left in the tank. Let's see if we get a couple more next week. And then if that is still an ongoing thing, then I'm being a little more descriptive with, this is what this should look like. We want to have slow down at the end of the sets. I'll show my own videos or other videos to show this is what it looks like to hit failure. And usually, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do, especially with lower body. And right. So it might take some time to work toward that, but usually those things help over a number of weeks working closer to it.
Absolutely. And I think, again, oftentimes even assigning like a, hey, I want you to take this movement to the point where, like, you're going to record yourself taking this movement to the point where you literally can't lift the weight again. And let's see how many reps you get with, like, maybe you're going to do 2 sets. Let's say I'm assigning you like 10 to this movement. Let's say it's a leg extension in the 10 to 15 rep range, or let's say a hip thrust is a good example of this, like a Smith machine hip thrust. You're going to do that. Like, we're going to do 3 sets here. First set, 2 sets, I want you to do 10 to 15 reps at like one RIR. So 1 rep left in the tank. Last set, I want you to use the same weight as you used for the first 2. I want you to record the set and literally do as many reps as you can until you can't lift the weight again. And how that should end up is, if, again, if we are aiming for like 1 RIR, there will be some fatigue across sets. So honestly, like, we'll typically see a little bit of rep drop off from set to set. But how that should end up is, again, like, or how that often ends up is like, hey, maybe the first 2 sets, the person did like 12, and then it'll be like, in the last set you did like 19 reps, right? Where, okay, so for those first 2, we had at least 7 reps in the tank, honestly, probably a little bit more than that. I think that's such a good education tool. And again, just auditing logbooks, you can really often see, like, first, making sure the person is progressing over time. We won't always progress every single week, but progressing over time. And again, oftentimes if we see things like, hey, you did the same weight for the same reps across all 3 sets of like a very fatiguing movement, like split squats, right? Where typically there should be enough fatigue that we can't match. We can't do the same weight for the same reps across all 3. Another good sign that, hey, we might want to push this a little bit harder. Anything else to add there before we talk about our own challenges?
One small thing I think that is helpful there is sometimes just completely taking away the rep targets. A lot of times if it's, say, 10 to 15, people will just stop because they hit 15. Right. Whereas you could just take away the rep target altogether and just say this set to failure. Then, and that's similar to an AMRAP set, like you were talking about. Then that helps, because then we can have that conversation of the rep targets. They help you guide, they help guide you with weight selection, but they're actually not as important as just pushing as hard as you can here. So taking away those for a while, at least, can be helpful too.
Absolutely. Okay. So to wrap this up, let's chat about our a few of our own challenges and struggles with building phases, because I do think this is helpful. I mentioned this a bit earlier, but I know one of mine was, for a long time, especially like when I first started to understand nutrition, it would be like, so like the first diet that I really like quote unquote worked for me was like a very low carb. It was like low carb intermittent fasting diet. And then I would have like one free day a week where I would just like smash food. And eventually I had to like remove that to keep losing, but I basically lost like 40 pounds there. And then after that, it was like, all right, that sucked. I was so tired of that. I was like just eating ground beef and avocado, and I could have done it much differently, of course, but this was like part of the learning experience for me. So then I basically just went back to eating like I was before. And it was like kind of a cycle of, and then I basically gained it all back. And then I like understood macros. So then that's like what got me into understanding macros. So then like my next diet, it was like, I used macros and it was better. But I really started to understand, okay, I can just diet extremely aggressively and I can lose very, very quickly. So then I went through these phases of, it would be like, okay, I diet super hard for like 8 to 10 weeks, lose a lot of weight. And then I was like, well, now I'm just going to go back to doing what I was before. That was easy enough. But basically then what it led to was, it was just like this constant cycle of yo-yo dieting, where it'd be like anywhere from like 20 to 40 pounds where I'd lose it, gain it back, lose it, gain it back, just so quickly. So my building phases weren't very productive either, because they weren't very long. And again, like when you're losing that quickly, there's more likelihood of muscle loss. And again, like half of that was probably just like getting back to like that building phases I would do was just getting back to where I was previously. Another big challenge for me, I would say more recently, I would say in like my like 2021 building phase, was the food quality and nutrient timing, where again, just like underestimating the importance of those things, where it would just be like, I would like have a protein shake and some carbs in the morning, and then I would like work, drink a ton of stimulants, a ton of caffeine. This is all like kind of all consuming. And then it'd like very much be like not being willing to shift my work schedule much to really focus on like all these things, to where it was like, and then at the end of the day, I'd be like, oh shit, now I have to really cram all my food in like this short time frame. And again, like that's just not going to be the most conducive way to build, right? Where especially like in that situation where I was training in the morning, basically we're in a deficit all day. We're sending our body the signal we're in a deficit all day, and then just cramming the food in the evening, whereas our recovery just isn't going to be as good. And also for me, with like the stimulant intake, then that was like messing up my sleep. So my sleep wasn't very good and I felt like shit in my training. I'd say those have been two of the biggest ones for me, where it was interesting to see like in that building phase. And we pushed weight up pretty aggressively in that one too. I think that was another one where I got up like over 240 actually. And then at the end of that, cutting back down, it was like, damn, I really just did not make very much progress in this phase. So again, as a whole, I think it's the biggest like learning experiences for me have been, again, like how much the things in the micro across the day, like your nutrient timing, spacing your food out through the day, and like really making that a priority, have how important that has been, being much more conservative with the rate of gain. And also again, like the things like sleep, stress management, like reducing stimulant intake, how much of a difference that really makes. I think it's so easy as well to think like, oh, I'm fine. Like I can just chug some more caffeine in the morning and like, I know you're not as much of like a stimulant person as I am, but like,
I love it. I just have,
or you're better about it.
Coach applied limit to me.
Yeah. You have been more responsible than I have with it in the past, but like, those have been some of the biggest things for me in all phases too, especially with like the sleep thing, where I think it's so easy to just like, well, I can handle more of this than anyone else. Like I'm good if I just get like 6 hours or whatever it is. And like, it's, that might not even be the best quality. Anyways, for you, what would you say have been kind of the biggest building phase challenges?
For me, a big part of the discomfort around it with me is I have abdominal separation. And so if I'm not restricting my food, basically. I have a little bit more abdominal distension just because those muscles are more lax. And so I just get self-conscious about that. And it's difficult for me to not focus on that. Just like we talked about before, where you focus on the one perceived negative versus all of the positives, I can get super focused on that versus like I'm clearly building some good muscle, and that one part of me that no one is even focused on except for me is seeing improvement. And so that's really the biggest challenge. And this is really the only like proper building phase I've done with my internal health in a better place. And so previously I've just sort of gained fat pretty quickly. My training intensity also wasn't in as good of a place before. And so I just haven't done it properly, where I haven't just gained fat, which puts me right back into the same position after I diet again. So, just, I guess there's also a little bit of nervousness with like, am I going to waste time here and get back to the same place that I was initially, which I know objectively isn't true, because I can see that I'm building muscle. But I mean, I think it's like, I go through the same sort of internal battle that a lot of people do with their building phases. And really you just have to accept that going to be a part of it. Like there's negatives to a diet phase and there's negatives to a build phase. And people are a lot more willing a lot of times to put the negative part of the diet phase in the back of their mind and just get it done. Whereas in a building phase, you kind of have to do that same thing. You just have to do it for longer, which I think is a big part of the hard aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are such great points. And also I think it's probably very helpful to hear that like still like the mental game, something that you're working on as well, right? Most coaches are good coaches because they've worked through the same challenges that their clients are working through, or might still be working through them and just a few steps ahead, right? Where if we had never experienced these things ourselves, wouldn't really actually be able to coach that well, especially from the mental side of things. I think that's so important, right? It's not, I feel the same way, where like so many times it's like, man, like, hey, we're pushing weight up still again. And they like, over the last like 3-ish years, I'm so much more conservative with the way we push things up, but still it's every time it's like, oh man, I'm like 10 pounds away from where I was on my leanest. Like, am I making progress? Right. And I'm very, very happy with how like my physique has developed, but it is always a challenging thing. Anything else you want to add as we kind of wrap this up?
Just one last little tidbit is, a lot of the things that we've been focusing on with this episode is the fat gain that comes along with a building phase a lot of times. And I think it's also helpful to remember that that is something that you can also lose very quickly once you get back into the fat loss phase. And I think some people get into their mind, like this feels permanent. Everything always feels like it's going to be so much term than what it actually is. But it is helpful to know, like you've gone through fat loss phases before and you lose it very quickly, very efficiently. And we can always do that once you are on the other side of this building phase, and you'll be so happy that you did it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think like I posted my own like mini cut, right? Where I was like in 4.5 weeks, I think it lost like 13 pounds. Yeah. And again, it's like, and your body will only be in a healthier place to lose fat loss when we're ready for it, or like when we get to it. So I think that's such a good, important point to make as well. Cool. Well, on that note, we will go ahead and wrap this up. Next week, we'll be back with the final part of the building phases for women series, talking about when to end a building phase and how to transition out. But for now, that is what we have for you guys. If you would like to apply for coaching with us, just hit the link in the show notes, and we will catch y'all next time.